The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And now, it's time for Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on 103.9 LI News Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Must be Saturday afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m. or Wednesday nights from 8 to 9. We broadcast at both of those slots. And we're here to talk about your job, your career, how to be successful, how to be even more successful. We talk about how to be a better salesperson, how to be a more engaged employee, how to be a better leader, how to be a better manager. We have companies that come on the show with jobs that they advertise right here on our program where you can apply for. We talk about every workplace issue. And one of the workplace issues we're going to talk about today, you know what, before we do that, I just wanted to whine and complain a little bit about the snow, Kenny. Have you had enough yet?
I've had my share.
I mean, this has been ridiculous. It's been snowing. I think it snowed 4 out of the last 5 days. Mm-hmm. Every other day we're getting more. People on Long Island don't remember. You know, if you're old enough, you remember that Long Island winters were vicious and ugly and horrible the way this one is, going back 10, 20 years. Mm-hmm. We've all been spoiled. Now we're getting mild winters where January, it's in the 40s, mm-hmm. and the last few years. But this year, it's a return to what was before. So this is what it used to be like, folks. If you're not a Long Islander for many, many, many years, you're just seeing what we used to have. Very upsetting. Global warming. We can talk. We should do a show on global warming and
climate. That would be interesting.
Yeah, very much so. Because I do believe in all that stuff. But anyway, one of the topics that we've always favored on TV Jobline for 24 years and on Radio Jobline for the last 6 is a level playing field for people with disabilities. I don't think there's anything uglier than discrimination against someone who's not as capable as you, who's not as smart as you are, or educated, or has some kind of disability in one way or another, Kenny. It doesn't matter what the disability is. Just the fact that their unemployment rate is so high. What do we read just now? 40%?
44%.
That's a huge unemployment rate. Unacceptable. Unforgivable. And I'll bet you my guest gets upset when he even hears that number. Joining us today is Nicholas Villani. He's the president and CEO at Career and Employment Options, which could also be referred to as CEO, because he's the CEO of CEO. before we go to Nick, can he tell us all about Nick?
As you said, he's the president and CEO of Career and Employment Options and has worked in the field of vocational training and employment for people with special needs since 1982. He has administered programs, written grants, designed programs, and was influential in much of the progress in the field of supported employment and transition for individuals with disabilities. As a presenter, he has trained hundreds of professionals in the field of vocational training, vocational services across the United States. Mr. Villani was the administrator and oversaw the operations of services in the field of transition, vocational rehabilitation, and day programs for major not-for-profit agencies on Long Island. Nick has been a leader in the field, serving on the Associations for the Employment of Individuals with Special Needs, and has worked for not-for-profit and for-profit organizations performing transition services since 1990.
That was a very perky read, Kenny. We got to do more early day stuff for you here, give you a chance to have that much energy. Nick, welcome to Radio Jobline.
Thank you so much, Scott. I appreciate it. And also, let me say that I want to thank you for all the work that you've done in this area. I've seen your work on Channel 12 and other places, and it has been really very important and impressive.
Well, you know what happened, Nick, a long, long time ago, very long time ago? It was in my first or second year on TV Jobline, way back. You know, we're going back, what, 300-400 years. But whatever time it was, I was about 6 months into my TV show, and we did a segment on very similar to what we're going to talk about today, Nick. And the whole management team of News 12 stopped me in the hall and said, "Scott, great show. You should do more shows about this. The viewers really appreciate it. They love it." So I got that idea, you know, all those years ago, Nick. And any organization that helps people with disabilities. I don't care what the disability is. Any organization, they never have the right advertising budget. They don't have enough money to get the word out about their services. So they have a home here on Radio Jobline, Nick, and so do you. And I hope you'll come back and be a regular participant in this program, because a level playing field in the workforce is absolutely, I demand it. I there's nothing I hate more than discrimination. So with that in mind, there's the setup, Nick. Tell us a little bit about how the business is, whether or not it was affected by the pandemic, and what you guys do.
Well, sure. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate that. Yeah, we were affected by the slowdown in the schools and the shutdown in schools, because most of our work, close to 90% of it, is working with school districts. Mm. And so we were affected pretty significantly. Then on top of that, we were affected by our ability to work with adults in the vocational components and the job placements, because all the companies shut down.
Yeah.
So we are recovering, and we're in the process of doing so. But essentially, our company works with school districts, and clearly our goal is to be able to impact and change the course of how things are been done or been going, in order to be able to improve that.
Nick, can I ask you a question about perception? I'm one of these anti-bullying guys. I can't stand bullying. It's the one thing that will make me, you know,
blow your top.
Blow my top. thank you, Kenny. And I wonder if there's work that you're doing, you know, with the people that don't have disabilities, to talk to them and, you know, kind of remove that streak that seems to exist in so many humans, to actually bully someone less fortunate than themselves. You know, do you deal with that with the mainstream population, Nick, and talk to them and try to fix them? Or is it only that you're working with the which is great enough, that you're working with the disabled population?
Actually, Scott, we're one of the agencies that really works very closely with the business community. We set up school business partnerships. We have networking clubs. When we set up the school business partnerships, we make it very clear that this includes both special ed and gen ed have to be present during these programs and these meetings that go on between the business community and as well as the schools. But the purpose of this, the overall purpose, and the long view on this is that if in fact that the business community is more involved with the idea of being with kids in schools and seeing the difference and seeing what they need to be able to learn and where they go and what happens in there, that they in fact, when they come to their door as an applicant, they'd be very willing to move forward on it. I also believe this, that I think that this is somewhat more of a societal construct rather than something that somebody has it in their mind they're not going to give someone an opportunity. I think it's become a pattern based upon the idea that people are just used to doing that. And I think that once we get into the idea of integrating all of these pieces together and people really understand who is in special education, where their goals are, they are going to college, they're doing all of these things, and in fact they're your sons, they're your daughters, and they are now going to be your employees. So the premise of what we do is work closely with the business in that idea.
All right. I was just throwing out there that I wish there was some way to that people would stop looking at people with disabilities as something less fortunate than themselves. They don't want to be perceived that way, right, Nick? I mean, they want to be treated like the rest of us.
Absolutely. I'll give you an example. I was a professor at Dowling College for 18 years. Mm. And my first assignment that I used to give the students was that they were to go into the workplace and meet with three different businesses and then write down their impressions of whether or not the persons would hire the individual with a disability. They had to ask them the question, mm-hmm. Would you hire someone with a disability?
Right.
And then write down their perceptions of what the business said to them. What we came back with was pretty much the following. Businesses across most of Long Island consider people with an orthopedic industry, people with a mental illness, or people with an intellectual disability as being the primary individuals who have a disability, and yet the reality is about 35 or 38% of the people have a learning disability. So their perceptions of what a disability was so askew of what the reality was. The second thing is that the perception that people would hire someone with a disability if given the opportunity, we found that 60% of the businesses said yes, but about 40% said no, they weren't going to do it.
Wow.
So there is, we do believe that there is this big a gap between people's perceptions and what the realities are and what we need to be able to do, not only in schools, and I call the three pillars of the community, the schools, the business community, and the voc rehabilitation community. All three have to be working in concert in order to be able to address this.
All right. Well, the numbers you just gave us are startling, and this is why we love to do these segments, Nick, and popularize these thoughts and ideas, because we want people to look at folks with disabilities as someone perfectly targeted for most types of jobs that they're going after. I mean, they're not going after the jobs they're not capable of doing. They're going after jobs they are capable of doing. And that's because they get guidance from organizations like yourself. So let's talk about your particular organization, Career and Employment Options, and what the genesis, how you got it started. Now that we've got the, you know, we've explained the problem, how is CEO getting around this?
Well, first of all, I started the company based upon the idea that I was collecting data, and all that data was telling me that there was a lack of progress in the employment of students and then eventually adults. And I said, what if I formed an organization that this was the only thing that we did?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do anything else. We only worked on the transition from kids with going from high school into jobs or college, or we worked with adults into the job market. And if, in fact, that organization was so focused in this particular area, then, in fact, that it maybe could have an impact. And we've had a pretty good impact.
Mm.
We started with two school districts, and now we're close to maybe 35, 40 school districts across Long Island.
All right, let's get into it a little bit, Nick. Tell us about the exactly what you guys do and how more schools could be involved.
Sure. Well, the thing that we do that I think is we provide the support services that very often schools can't have. And we have a curriculum that we developed. That curriculum is all based upon career services. And those career services are basically the soft skills on how to go into the work world and succeed in it. We also teach, and I think these are the critical things that I think every single person with a disability has should have, and that is, I think they have to have some straight talk about, all right, what are you going to face when you're out there? What are the problems that people with disabilities have? I think we have to talk to them about preparedness. And we go through the specifics of career services as it directly relates to not only just resumes and cover letters, but also the idea of how to find a job, how to analyze what's out there as far as information, and how to gather that information into a job search. And of course, I think that one of the things that is really important is that how to use their networks of supports within their own selves. So they need to be able to find and utilize the networks of supports within a work world and within their post-secondary institutions or colleges.
Okay. All right, all good. And then let's say now that a person finds out about your organization, what happens first? You know, is there a vetting situation? Is it only certain types of disabilities? You know, clarify for us who should be involved in this, who can benefit from it, and how they benefit from it.
Well, we haven't done any real marketing for the first, I guess, 13 years of our existence. Mm-hmm. And we basically work closely with our schools. And so therefore, we don't necessarily have people come to us and then we send them back to the schools. We don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We really take a careful look at that, trying to work with our school administrators in order to be able to make this work for them. As far as adults, they can speak to Access VR. Or they can. We have several grants, one with the town of Hempstead and one with the town of Oyster Bay, and those are WIOA, Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act grants. And those grants, they can reach either one of the town of Oyster Bay or the town of Hempstead, Hempstead Works or town of Oyster Bay programs, and they can get a hold of us through there.
Okay. And then let's talk about the program itself. You know, what are you actually doing with these folks?
Sure. I think the first thing that I think that we do with almost every single one of our folks is that we want to get them to define what they think that their career interests are. And we go through a series of assessments and evaluations. I put a great deal of revenue and time into developing as many instruments as possible, because not one instrument works for everyone, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
And that the interest inventories, the vocational evaluation instruments, all of these things can turn around and help someone, once they're given this information, help them make better choices. Then within that, we start to go through the process of how do they start looking at that particular choice that they've made, and how do they develop a resume that would define itself addressing that particular career interest? And then what are the cover letters necessary? Where are those places? Let's take a look at the different businesses on Long Island, where those, or Westchester, because we're in Westchester as well, and New York City. Where are they in your region, in your area? And basically, what is their hiring practices? We ask them to do kind of like an economic evaluation with us, in order to be able to make that best decision. And then take a closer look at the company. And when they look at the company, they want to be able to get a sense that there is some kind of sense of progress and ability for them to be able to get into that company.
Well, let me, you didn't ask for it, but I'm going to give you some advice, Nick. Okay.
Sure.
Your students have to have by far the best state of the art resume theory and philosophy and technique, right? Because they have to look as good as they can possibly look. There's just no room for, you know, bad resumes on top of having already a disadvantage because you have a disability. I'm writing an article right now for Long Island Business News, and off and on I do a lot of writing but stop for a while, but this particular one is about resumes. And let me share with you the essence of the article that I'd like to share with all the listeners, with Kenny, with everybody. When you make a resume, it's not a job application. So what you don't just put the name of your company, the job title you held, give me a few responsibilities, next name of the company, job title, responsibilities. That is not what the employer is looking for. What the employer is looking for is the connection between what their job description is saying and your experience.
Exactly.
Okay. So what I then tell people to do, and this is not a cheating type of thing, and I'm not doing it because I want someone to deceive anybody, but what I say is look at the bullets on the job description. Let's say there's 12 of them. Okay. And let's say as you go through those bullets, you realize that you have something positive to say about 10 of those 12 bullets. Well, that's what should be on your resume.
Exactly.
Nothing else. You don't need anything else. Just tell the company what is the connection between every bullet that they're looking for and your experience, and do it in the same order that they mentioned it, because that's obviously their perspective and what they think is the most important. So I don't know if people are actually actively instructing folks to do the resume the way I just described. It's perfectly legitimate. You're not making stuff up. You're just giving the company, you're helping the company choose you, Nick. That's the whole idea. So I just thought I'd share that with you and throw that out there.
I think that's incredible. And Scott, you nailed it 100%. The way to be able to create your resume and your interview skills, which, by the way, is the more difficult thing to be able to provide instruction for.
Right.
It takes a little bit more time. But the resume is, if you can't represent your resume prior to walking into an interview, you're probably not going to be able to do that while the pressure's on in the middle of an interview.
Mm-hmm.
So you really need the practice of doing so, and there's where your interview training and skills go. And that's what we spend a great deal of time on as well, because that's when we find that people don't get the jobs.
Nick, I'm going to make an offer that I don't always make, but because it's one of these level the playing field organizations, if you would ever like me to come down and speak to your people, I would be happy to give them the benefit of my 396 years in the staffing business and 400 business in the career planning business. So, seriously, if you need someone to come in and do some motivational speaking, I wouldn't normally do it, but in this case, I would do it, Nick. I would love to speak to your population and to your people and share with them a lot of the smart things I've learned. You know, when you do something as long as I've done it, you kind of have seen everything. There's nothing really new. By the way, Nick, just give everybody the website for your organization real quick.
Sure. It's www.ceoincworks.com.
Okay. You're listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor and Ken Connolly. We've got some business to do at the top of the next portion of the show. You're going to stay with us. We got a news break coming up. If you have an idea for Radio Jobline, you can write to us, scottp118@gmail.com. That's my email address. Send me an email. Tell me you want to be on the show. Tell me why. Tell me what the topic is. We'll be happy to do it. Kenny will reach out to you. And next thing you know, you're going to be a radio star. So it's really easy to get on Jobline, especially if you have an organization like the one we're talking to today that helps people level the playing field. Stay with us. We got a news break coming up. We'll be right back. Roll away.
And now, welcome back to Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on LI News Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor and Ken Connolly, super intern Ken Connolly. And speaking of Ken Connolly, he's got some business to do. Kenny, if you would take it away, sir.
Yes, sir. Charlie Lee's Biz Shout, Socially Promote Yourself or Your Business, is a promotional and advertising platform in social media that combines the cultures and services of Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, sharing a new business casual environment to uniquely promote content through entertaining shouts. For their first service, they designed a creative resume to help users potentially land their dream job five times greater by showcasing their elevator pitch and demonstration videos in a handsomely designed portfolio and searchable database. Joining BizShout and designing a creative resume are free at BizShout.com. Spelt with two Z's, build yours today for faster placement. And as the ad says, the platform itself is just like a combination of Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. You can shout similar to a tweet on Twitter, things about what you do, things about what you're trying to do. You could also put videos of all your content. Really a great way to promote yourself, your personal brand, and get out there and get that job that you want to get. And the next piece of business here, two great guests that we've had on Jobline numerous times, Joe Campolo specifically, Donna Sirianni joined him a couple weeks ago as well. Imagine unlocking your greatest potential by being challenged and inspired while surrounding yourself with like-minded professionals. You can make that a reality today by being part of Moving Forward Strategies, Long Island's premier personal and professional training experience. Moving Forward Strategies is a first-of-its-kind company that focuses on creating a community of leaders who seek customized training experiences to help them propel forward both personally and professionally. Find out more at www.movingforwardstrategies.com. And Nick, to get back into the show, I wanted to start things off by asking you, if we have listeners out here that want to help people with disabilities, are interested in joining a company like yours, what route do they have to take to do so in terms of, let's say, someone's listening and they're graduating high school, they're going to go to college, what sort of educational path do they have to follow? And, you know, are internships impactful in getting a job in the field, et cetera?
Well, I'll tell you, the most important thing to recognize is that almost all of our staff are, who are working in schools, are either certified special ed teachers or guidance counselors. So we really look for people with master's degrees in the education field. However, we have a few folks who don't have necessarily their master's, and those individuals are also welcome to apply. However, but when it comes to our schoolwork, we generally stay with those individuals with that kind of master's level experience.
So you want them on the education track, though, right? Not the social work track or anything like that.
Well, we've had people in those other areas as well, and they've been incredibly gifted and capable. So we don't. But generally speaking, you know, those are the two types of employees that we usually go for: those who have some kind of basic background in special education, as well as guidance. As social work also works for us very well.
I just want to remind you, Kenny's looking for a job too. So if you think of anything, let him know. he graduated in this past May in the worst talent pool job market in history that I can remember. Yeah. And that's why I've been lucky enough to keep him as my intern all this time.
Yeah.
So,
all right. It's a rough world out there.
It is. It is. So let's get back to CEO. So, so tell us, is there a certain type of person with disability that you're focused on, or is it anyone with disabilities?
Generally speaking, we have about 60% of the individuals we serve are going for their regents diplomas or local diploma.
Mm-hmm.
And about 35 to 40% fall in what we consider to be the alternate assessment or going for their skills achievement commencement credential.
Okay.
That would used to be known as an IEP diploma.
All right.
So that's the difference and the breakdown in our company. We also, when we work with school districts in our school business partnership, we're looking for general ed as well, because we're finding a great interest in the area of apprenticeships, not only just in the area of the apprenticeships in the area of the trades, but also for some of the IT positions that need to be filled out there.
Yeah.
So we're working with a lot of companies to develop apprenticeships with those individuals who are leaving school.
Yeah, we've done so many shows on, I wish we could do more shows on apprenticeships, because we don't know of that many apprenticeships, but we've done so many shows on internships and how relevant they are, you know, when you're doing a resume and you're graduating from whether it's high school or college. If you've had internships in the field, it's just critically important. I would imagine an apprenticeship is even more powerful.
It's very powerful. And not only that, they get paid for doing so under the new formats that are going on out there.
Right.
So in terms of the WIOA monies, that's the Workforce Innovation Opportunities Act monies that are flowing into the communities. So
it's
very powerful.
Let's talk about, switch the subject just a little bit. Let's talk about from the perspective of the disabled person, Nick, what kind of barriers are these folks facing?
I'm going to go back to this again, and number one has to do with straight talk.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, what are you going to experience out there? And is it, you know, it's just that you're going to leave school with like everyone else and everything will be fine? Well, guess what? The statistics are telling us something else. So we are a very analytic-based organization that's based upon, like, how many job developments did we do in order to be able to try to make a placement? How many internships did a student go on before they got their job? All of those things are critical. And like Moneyball taught us, it can have incredible outcomes if, in fact, that you are tracking those and utilizing that data. So one of the things that I think that people need to be, they need straight talk. And the other thing is that they need to have is experiences not unlike the apprenticeships.
Mm-hmm.
And then University of Connecticut did some great studies in this. They found out that kids who actually had work experiences while they were in high school, students with disabilities, and when they got to college, actually did better than most of their other their disabled peers who did not have that experience.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. That
yeah.
makes perfect sense. I mean, you would think that they've gained, you know, a certain communication ability, a certain communication style, a certain responsibility in those early stages. So that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And I think that, Scott, to be very honest with you, I don't think they're really taught in high school how to be able to utilize all of the supports that they're going to need. The bell and how to get used to the college schedule, scattered schedule, how to get used to being able to be on a regular schedule for work,
mm-hmm.
how to be able to get all of those supports in place that they may need in the workplace, self-disclosure, and how important that is for them to be in the workforce and to let people know how they, and to do that in a way that, you know, keeps their sense of who they are as well, but also lets the business know what their needs may be.
Yeah.
So all of those things are really, I think, are very critical.
All right. So, what seems to be the issue? When do you actually go to the employers and talk to them about hiring people with disabilities? And if yes, what are the reasons that they give you, Nick?
Most of the time, they don't really say they. When we go speak to a business, they're only concerned about one thing, and I get this. They need somebody to do the job in a way that needs to be done for their company, for them to be able to make a living and to be able to do business. The idea that someone has a disability doesn't necessarily impact that business unless they feel it's going to impact their bottom line. The most important thing is that they too many of them come from that social construct where they're thinking that, well, if someone has a disability, automatically that's going to be a problem. And essentially they don't realize that some of the greatest, most gifted people I've ever come across are people with disabilities.
Maybe we maybe we should take a minute and talk about some of the great successes. There, I'm sure there are jobs that are difficult to fill that people with disabilities would be happy and delighted to do. And therefore, they do have a very valuable place in the talent pool. But give us a few examples of people that have disabilities that are doing wonderful work.
Sure. We have one person who's hired as an engineer at Siemens. We have another individual who's hired at National Grid. By the way, a wonderful group of people over there. I can't say enough about them. As far as people who've been hired as tutors, things of that nature, we've had a lot of different people on that higher level, and they have disabilities, and were in special education. Yet they still were able to get through college, most of them, or were able to get into these kinds of levels of jobs. But we also have a lot of people who are in, say, what we consider to be entry level, because since so much of our student base is, right out of high school into jobs, a lot of those folks go into entry-level positions, but we try to get them into positions that help them be able to create a career path from that.
Give us an example of what might be an entry-level position.
We have the food industry. That's something, but also health and hospitals. There's a lot of entry-level positions in the health and hospital, which is right now incredibly busy.
Yeah.
Needless to say.
Gee, I wonder why. that makes a lot of sense too. And I've also seen a lot of people make a decent living, in hotels, supporting everything from like chambermaids and the people that clean the hotels but also, there are other jobs. I mean, I don't think people realize that there are many, many jobs that people with disabilities can do.
Yeah. Well, it's very important to recognize that a hospitality industry basically has almost the full scale of all the different jobs within one building.
Yeah.
Not only from the, say, the culinary to the front office and the office management to the maintenance departments to the housekeeping departments, the security departments, all of them, every one of the hospitality industry types of jobs have a wide variety of jobs. And so therefore, if in fact that students are being explained this from the very beginning, as this could be your entry level, but you can basically now bounce from different types of jobs within the company, it's a way to build up their resume, but it's also a way for them to build their career.
Did it impact you that the hospitality industry was hit so hard and the number of jobs that you might have been able to offer your students just weren't there?
We were devastated by that.
Yeah,
I have to tell you, we were not as bad as the actual industries themselves, but we basically lost a huge chunk of the market out there for us to be able to work with. Not only that, the food industry as well.
All right. So you're getting back on your feet too.
Yes, we were hit pretty hard.
Right. Okay. So let's look at a little bit into the future. Have we made enough progress, or are organizations like yours, Nick, just keeping it at bay, keeping it, so that it doesn't get worse?
Yeah. Well, that's a really good question, because here's what I think that we're at right now, Scott. I think we're at a place where it's not time to get back to the back of the line again.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the time to really push really hard for us, the advocates and the people with disabilities. I think it's their time right now to say, hey, we're not going to wait. We're not going to get to the back of this line again now that we're going to try to get into recovery. I think that these businesses really need, and I think they're ready for it too. The business community is ready, saying, listen, I need folks and I need them to be able to get back on board, and I need my company back on board. So I think that this is the point in time in this particular segment of that you're doing right now with your radio show is a good example of us taking the time to say we're not getting back to the, we're not getting on the back of the line. We want to be able to get right up to the front and get our share of what's out there.
All right, let's make it the Nick Villani show for a moment. Okay.
Okay.
So if this was your show right now, what would you be saying to businesses that give you the cold shoulder?
That why, number one, I'm going to go right to some of the incentives that are connected to that right now. As far as apprenticeships, those incentives are pretty impressive right now. Mm-hmm. For those companies, plumbing companies, all the trades, all the IT companies, the apprenticeship programs and capacity for them to get a lot of incentives through that are very, very important. Number one. Number two, there's a lot of financial work opportunity tax credits. The tax credits, that's the thing that is really important. The third thing is that why are they closing their door to a potential employee? I have individuals who work for me who I know have disabilities. They are some of the best people I have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking as an employer right now. Why would they want to close their door to potential opportunities, potential people who can do an incredibly good job for them? There's no reason for it. There's no logical reason other than this is how you just always did business. And what the pandemic taught us, there is no simple way of doing business anymore. Mm. Everything has changed.
Yeah. So do you believe that your people will now become more valuable?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. Then the future looks bright.
Well, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but I think that it's going to be easier because it basically broke down all the traditional barriers that were out there. Now everyone's saying, listen, let's just get the best person to do this job the best way we can because we need to get ourselves back on track.
So you're recruiting schools. You're not recruiting individuals. Am I right, Nick?
Well, we do both. In our Access contracts, Access is the state vocational rehabilitation agency.
Okay.
What happens is that when people come to us knowing that what we do and how we do it and are very, very connected to how we provide support services, school districts come to us in order for us to be able to give their students more than they could be given necessarily through their own school system. So we're like a supplement to all of the work that they're doing with their students.
Okay.
And that's why they use us.
Okay. We have a couple of minutes left. I want to just give people how they can get involved, Nick, whether they, A, would like to work for a company like yours, or B, are disabled themselves and would like to be part of the organization, or C, they're a school or a member of a school that wants more information about possibly participating, or perhaps they're a business that has not done anything in terms of hiring people with disabilities, and they want to get started doing that. So for those four populations right there, how do people get a hold, the website, the phone numbers, everything you want to give us?
Sure. The person who that they could want to do outreach to is Dr. Paul Cavanaugh. He's our Director of Program Services, and he's been with us for the last he came to us very similar to, he lost his particular position and in the pandemic and then came to us, and I brought him. Paul and I worked together many years ago, so he's the individual that I think, and he's on our website. They can contact him if, in fact, that they are looking for some kind of direct contact.
Give the website one more time. Give the website.
www.ceinc.work.com.
Okay. Is there anything special they have to do when they get to the website? Any particular pages, or they'll just see it? They'll see it.
They'll see it when they go in there. They basically have contacts in there. We generally have something for potential employees as well that they can automatically apply through there, and that goes to an email address that then comes to us, and then we follow up on that. As far as businesses are concerned, Scott, we run something called a networking club and career labs with the schools and the school business partnerships. Those are three areas that the networking club is for the adults, and that's more of like trying to introduce businesses to the people that we serve.
Mm-hmm.
For adults. The career lab is the thing that we do with the schools. And I heard somebody mention, I think it was Ken, about elevator speeches. What we try to teach students that we work with is how to do their elevator speeches. And then we also show them, give them feedback from the businesses that they've given the elevator speech to. Mm-hmm. So we try to get businesses to be involved in that area, and then for them to be able to start considering these students as potential employees for the future.
You talked about interview skills before and soft skills and so on, and I'm sure you're giving some training in the area of what to do and how to act on a job interview, right?
Absolutely, yeah. That's part of our web-based curriculum. I don't know if I mentioned that we did that in about 2012 or 13. We had different people doing different things every single time they went out into the, you know, into a school district based upon a book. You know, they had a curriculum to work with, but what we did is that we took it and put it on the web. So whenever somebody, one of our staff, walks into a school district or wherever they are, they are using the web-based system of a curriculum that was based around, that was written by special educators for the sole purpose of providing those career services, the interview, elevator speech, the interview skills, the resume. And of course, I would love to be able to have you more involved with this as we move forward. I love the work that you've done over the years, and I'm you know, very flattered to be even on your show.
Well, I'm delighted to be able to do something for that great population. So let me know how we can put that together. You know what I would say if there wasn't a pandemic, I'd say let's grab a breakfast and discuss this. But I'm not seeing or meeting anyone. We're out of time.
Zoom call breakfast.
Yeah, we'll do a Zoom call breakfast. Nick, thank you so much for being here with us today, and best of luck to you and to your organization. Fantastic work. Kenny will reach out to you and get you back on the show in 4 or 5 months. You know, make sure we keep you with a voice here on Radio Jobline.
Thank you so much, Scott. I appreciate that.
All right. If you have an idea for Radio Jobline and would like to be on the show, you can reach me at scottp118@gmail.com. Kenny, give your email.
kenny.radiojobline@gmail.com.
And you can write to either one of us. Kenny, who's coming up?
I do not have that on me right now.
All right, I caught him off guard finally. All right, we'll be back next week, everybody. Happy hunting.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.